A web that has no river. Understanding Chinese medicine. Basic science supportive evidence. Despite the inconclusiveness of the bulk of the RCT evidence, at least the work in emesis and dental pain has created a general consensus that something is going on with acupuncture therapy in a scientific sense. This has allowed acupuncture to enjoy enormous credibility within the biomedical community. But this positive consensus would not be possible without the parallel basic research investigations into acupuncture's possible mechanism. In fact, the act may have been interpreted differently if this mechanistic work had not already been ongoing. This work has significantly created the underlying plausibility that exists within the medical community towards acupuncture therapy, if not its philosophical theories. Chapter 4, Note 11, has already reviewed this basic science evaluation. These investigations have demonstrated that acupuncture analgesia may be initiated by stimulation of high-threshold, small-diameter nerves in the muscles that send messages to the spinal cord and then activate three centers: spinal cord, brainstem, and hypothalamic neurons, to stimulate endogenous opioid mechanisms. These responses include changes in plasma or corticospinal fluid levels of endogenous opioids, such as endorphins and enkephalins, or stress-related hormones, such as ACRH. Evidence also supports the notion that one of the mechanisms of acupuncture may involve stimulation for the gene expression of neuropeptides. Functional magnetic resonance imaging has also begun to show that stimulation of specific acupuncture points may have regionally specific, quantifiable effects on relevant structures of the human brain. For a fuller discussion of this aspect of acupuncture's encounter with science, the reader should see Chapter 4, Note 11. Adverse events associated with acupuncture. Classical East Asian sources, including the Neijing, were concerned with potential iatrogenic effects that could result from the improper use of acupuncture needles. For the scientific evaluation of the value of acupuncture, benefits must be weighted against risks. Numerous clinical reports have appeared in biomedical journals concerned with the harmful outcomes associated with acupuncture needling. The reports of injuries are essentially what would be expected with the use of any needles. Most of the side effects reported have been transient and have included bleeding, hematoma, bruising, erythema, drowsiness, dermatitis, nausea, and fainting. A few large prospective systematic surveillance studies of acupuncture's adverse effect also exist. The chart below summarizes all 11 events and the incident rates from a large study of acupuncture training facility in Japan. Reported adverse events related to acupuncture treatment. Reported adverse events: forgotten needles, 16 cases; dizziness, discomfort or perspiration, 13 cases; burn injury caused by thermotherapy, including moxibustion, 7 cases; ecchymosis accompanied by pain, 6 cases; ecchymosis without pain, 5 cases; malaise, 5 cases; minor hemorrhage, 3 cases; aggravation of complaint, 3 cases; itching and or redness, suspected contact dermatitis, 3 cases; pain in the puncture region, 2 cases; fall from bed, 1 case. Besides minor problems, major complications have also been reported from acupuncture treatment. These have included transmission of infectious diseases, most commonly hepatitis B, but also subacute bacterial endocarditis. pericarditis, tissue damage, including pneumothorax and other organ punctures, including cardiac tamponade, and broken needles with remnants migrating to other locations, including the spine. Some reviews believe as many as 5 incidents may have resulted in fatalities, while others contest these allegations. 6 major systematic reviews summarizing the totality of adverse events associated with acupuncture have been published in peer-reviewed journals. While every review has recognized that serious injuries have resulted from acupuncture, all agree that considering the frequency with which the technique is applied, complications and adverse effects of acupuncture seem to be anecdotal and rare, and acupuncture can generally be considered a safe treatment. It's also important to note that the bulk of adverse events seem to result from acupuncturists with inadequate training. A large study of Australian acupuncturists demonstrated that an acupuncturist's adverse event rate was inversely proportional to the quality and length of training of the practitioner. Another major review concluded that knowledge of normal anatomy and anatomical variation is considered essential for safe practice and should be reviewed by regulatory bodies and those responsible for training courses. Also, all these systematic reviews of acupuncture's adverse effects support the idea that a system of self-regulation across the acupuncture profession, firmly based on the ethical principles, is solely needed to prevent adverse effect, as is the maintenance of national standards of training and standard licensure. None of the other 5 systematic summarizes or the NIH panel found any evidence to disagree with the first review of acupuncture's safety, which stated that the majority of complications can be avoided with cautious and prudent use. And we conclude that acupuncture is a safe technique when administered in the correct way. All the reviews also seem to agree with the NIH consensus panel that one of the advantages of acupuncture is that the incidence of adverse effect is substantially lower than that of many drugs or other accepted medical procedures used for the same conditions. Scientific research on East Asian herbal medicine. Oriental herbal medicine has also received much scientific attention. By far, the largest investigation concerning East Asian herbal medicine has been a laboratory-centered effort related to drug discovery, isolation, and development. Besides scientific and medical interest, this effort has been propelled by commercial concerns and the inertia inherent in standard method in the pharmaceutical industry. Academic institutions, pharmaceutical companies, and government organizations continue to subject the Oriental pharmacopoeia to the standard gamut of pharmacological studies. The chemical composition of most herbs has been determined. Cell lines, such as various cancers, and isolated animal organs have been subjected to different extract in multiple concentrations. The lethal dose upon which half of a cohort of animal die has been studied extensively. Countless mice, guinea pigs, rats, pigs, cats, rabbits, and dogs in piece of whole, healthy and intentionally made sick, awake or under anesthesia, have had physiological functions and organ activities challenged by oral, intravenous, intra-arterial, or intraventricular injections of herbal concentrates, and a wide assortment of bacteria, viruses, fungi, and parasites have been bombarded with countless herbal preparations. Serious pharmacokinetic studies, which deal with the effects of the body on the herbs, have begun to supplement these more traditional pharmacodynamic studies. This effort has been mentioned in Chapter 1 and seeks to translate Chinese experience into the standard scientific and commercial method of biomedicine. This effort has clearly documented that Materia Medica has potent pharmacological activity. Unfortunately, and not unusual for the effort, only a few potential drugs have made it through the drug development process. For a pharmacologist, the presence of such physiological activity in herbal material is not surprising. But, whatever the outcome of such studies, laboratory investigations ultimately tell us little about the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of Chinese medicinals on human beings. First, pharmacological activity on cell lines or animals does not necessarily translate into clinical effectiveness in humans. Second, these approaches tend to be based on a reductionist drug development models of assessment that overlooks the actual practice of East Asian herbal medicine. For any ultimate judgment on Oriental herbalism's efficacy, RCTs on human participants using traditional method of delivery must provide decisive scientific evidence. Randomized controlled trials on East Asian herbal medicine. Clinical research on Chinese herbs in the West is in its infancy. There have been only a handful of rigorously performed double-blind acts of Chinese herbal therapy. The first important such trial was for recalcitrant adult atopic dermatitis. Performed in London, it used a crossover design whereby patients are alternatively switched to either true herbs or dummy treatment. The herbs were a standardized formula and not individually tailored for each patient. Of the 31 patients who completed the study, there was a highly significant objective improvement in erythema, and surface damage, scars, as well as itching and sleep during the Chinese herbal treatment phase. The placebo was a decoction of equally bad tasting and smelling herbs that were thought to have no effect on the skin. This trial was preceded by an earlier RCT on 47 children with non-exudative atopic eczema, which had equally impressive results. The most sophisticated study so far that managed to fully adhere to traditional Chinese diagnostic and treatment processes while using a strict and accepted double-blind Western methodological protocol took place in Sydney. A total of 116 patients with irritable bowel syndrome were randomly allocated to one of three arms: a placebo treatment, a standardized Chinese herbal formulation, and an individualized herbal prescription that was regularly adjusted by a traditional Chinese herbalist. The standard formula contained 20 ingredients. The tailored prescriptions consisted of herbs chosen from a total of 81 herbs to match the unique pattern of disharmony of each patient. To enforce concealment, besides having a placebo designed to taste, smell, and look similar to the herbal formulas, all patients, after consulting a Chinese herbalist who was ignorant as to whether they were to receive real or dummy treatment, were required to complete a series of questionnaires and wait 30 minutes for the preparation of the herbs. The wait time was used to avoid patients identifying whether they were receiving standard, placebo, or customized formulations that take time to prepare. Compared with the placebo group, patients in the active treatment groups had significant improvement on all outcome measures. Standardized and individualized formulations were equally effective at the end of a 16-week treatment phase. At the 14-week follow-up, only those patients treated with individualized herbs maintained improvement. A large double-blind RCT to test Chinese herbs was performed on a standardized Chinese herbal extract for males with alopecia androgenetica in Holland. 396 males were randomly assigned to one of the two groups for 6 months. The active preparation group had a modest but statistically significant improvement based on hair counts and blind reviews of a photo report. Several other trials have been published by Western researchers. Another Australian pilot study randomly allocated 44 patients with chronic hepatitis C to either placebo or a standardized Chinese herbal formula of 19 ingredients. Active Chinese herbal medication was associated with a significant reduction in alanine aminotransferase levels over the 6-month study period. No patient cleared the virus, but four normalized their ALT on treatment. No patients in this pilot study were cured, and one experienced lasting normalization of LFT on cessation of the herbs. A Danish team gave 100 elderly volunteers a fixed Chinese herbal formula that was designed to help deteriorating memory. No desirable effect on memory functions was achieved by the active treatment group. A San Francisco group performed a pilot 12-week study on 30 adults with symptomatic HIV infection to see whether using a standardized Chinese herbal formula for 12 weeks could improve general life satisfaction, perceived health, and severity of symptoms. No differences between the herbal group or placebo were detected. The effects of Chinese herbal medicines in acute respiratory infections and the health-promoting effects of ginseng have been investigated in multiple RCTs. At least two systematic reviews have been performed. A team from the Australian National University found 27 studies of Chinese herbs in the management of acute respiratory infections. The study included mostly trials performed in Asia. The authors concluded that the trial methodology of these studies was often inadequate or insufficiently documented. More rigorous evaluation is needed. Ginseng, used as a single herb, one of the very few Chinese herbs to sometimes be used alone, has probably received the most attention in clinical trials. A systematic analysis performed at the University of Limburg found 21 double-blind RCTs, mostly performed in Germany, Italy, and Switzerland, and reported that among elderly people who suffer from fatigue, about 75% appear to benefit from ginseng, of which 50% is a ginseng effect and 25% a placebo effect. Moreover, certain psychological tests give better results. These trials are very small, tend to use self-report psychometric measures, and seem to decide the main outcomes retrospectively. Illustrative of these ginseng trials is one performed in Italy, where 16 healthy volunteers were given ginseng and another group of 16 subjects given identical placebo capsules under randomized double-blind conditions. Ginseng subjects performed better on certain psychomotor function tests, for example, mental arithmetic. This study was similar in design to a study of 12 duty nurses in London in a double-blind crossover study comparing the effects of ginseng or placebo on competence, mood, and performance. More recent trials have been larger. An Oslo team assigned 60 geriatric patients to either a ginseng vitamin capsule or placebo. After 8 weeks, there was no difference between either group in various functional outcomes measures. In Mexico City, a large double-blind clinical trial compared a multivitamin complex supplemented with ginseng versus a multivitamin complex without ginseng in 625 patients complaining of stress or fatigue. The ginseng group had a significant improvement in some measures, including quality of life index after 4 months.